COVID-19, a world in crisis. Questions and answers in this one-on-one conversation with Vista Radio Director of News, Wendy Gray.
And joining me this morning is Associate Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, Minister Michael Tobolo. Thank you very much for joining me this morning, Minister.
My pleasure, Wendy. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we know that isolation and being by ourselves and being unemployed because of the COVID-19 pandemic, it poses certain challenges and maybe certain challenges that we've never had before, some of us. So we wanted to take the opportunity to talk to you about some of the things that people may be facing and what supports the province of Ontario has for them and any tips that you might be able to give our listeners on how to deal with some of these situations.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure to do that.
Well, we know there are a lot of seniors that are watching what is happening to their peers in seniors' homes, hearing constantly that they are the province's most vulnerable. It must be very difficult on them to hear that and be isolated away from their families. So what supports are there from the province for seniors experiencing anxiety and other mental health issues?
And that's a very good question. Seniors typically will have, even without a pandemic or a crisis, will have high levels of depression and anxiety because of loneliness. Loneliness is something that affects a lot of our seniors, and then being further isolated by not being able to see their family members adds to that and adds to the anxiety of their situation, especially when so many of the seniors are falling prey to this coronavirus, and they're seeing a lot of their friends passing away. So it adds even more anxiety and depression to them.
Where can they go? What can they do for help?
Well, we've, I guess we can look at this from two parts. One is the fact that there are a lot of people that suffer from anxiety and depression in our society to begin with, and the government recognized the need for doing more in that regard. And one of the reasons we came forward with the Mindability Program, which is a structured psychotherapy that was developed by iPad in England. It's extremely successful in England, and it's been adapted as part of our roadmap to wellness here in the province of Ontario. So for seniors, the way to go right now, because of the fact that we cannot access those services if perhaps one needed them before, what we're doing is we're moving it to a virtual internet-based cognitive behavioral therapy to allow individuals to have access. So if you had a need for support before, contacting your family physician or telehealth will give you access to online support, whether it be virtually on by the computer or by telephone. And we also have, in addition to that, programs that are offered for young people through the Kids Helpline that will also give them referrals. Connects Ontario will also provide support and direction for individuals that need supports. It's a trying time, and perhaps for seniors, it would be more difficult to utilize online support services, but those are the ones that are available at the provincial level. Then there are also other things that we can do, maintaining that social aspect of our lives. You know, I constantly hear people say, you know, we need social distancing of 2 meters. And I remind them it's physical distancing, not social distancing, not social in the sense of not talking to people, not utilizing the means of communication like Facebook and Skype and Zoom and all these other great tools that weren't in existence before but are being utilized now to maintain that human contact with other people.
It's so important right now to stay in touch with people. What about single parents with children? They must be having such a hard time being parent, educator, entertainment director. What do you say to people who are at home living by themselves with children and are parenting? What supports are in place for them? Or do you have any words of advice for them?
Yeah, and the supports that are available online would be telehealth, telemedicine, and the other support that is fantastic is the Kids Helpline. When you're stressed out and you need someone to talk to as an adult, We also have Connects Ontario, which will give you the appropriate points of reference to get assistance. But one of the things that I want to emphasize to parents is that these are difficult times, and what is most affected for young children is the fact that there's been a change in their routines and their schedule. It affects us, but as adults, we're much more able and capable to change our schedules or create a new schedule. You need to maintain a schedule for your kids. You can't let them roll out of bed whenever they feel like getting up, not do homework if they've been assigned homework or are doing online learning. There's lots of documentaries that are very and age appropriate for children to allow them to have some of that educational component and then let them have some fun as well. So create a schedule, create an itinerary as an adult and for your children and keep them to that schedule, because routines are what give us a sense of normalcy. The minute, you know, you can do anything you want, whatever you want, it starts to have impacts on what their downtime is and what they're thinking. And it's okay for you as a parent to tell your kids that you have concerns as well. We shouldn't look at this from the standpoint that we've got to suck it up and that we have to be strong and resilient and show our kids that we don't have concerns. One of the things that typically happens is when you relate to another person and you tell them how you feel and you open yourself up to them, they will open themselves up to you. And this is something that's part of a healing process that takes place and builds resiliency. It's the exact opposite of showing weakness. And kids have to have that sense of hope again. Now, I heard a story about a young girl telling her mother that, you know, I don't want to die. And the mother looked at her and said, well, you're not going to die. And she says, but I'm just seeing so many people dying. Well, that tells me that perhaps the child is not really having the opportunity to speak to the mother and understand what she's seeing and hearing on the news and the media. Maybe too much time is being spent watching the news and the media in that house, and maybe more time should be spent on looking at positive things and our strengths from within us to move us forward.
What about people who have been thrown out of work because of the pandemic and are struggling to pay their bills and put food on the table, even with the Canada Emergency Response Benefit? Where can they go and who should they call to talk about their anxiety over losing their jobs?
Yeah, again, the helplines that we have established are that actually they've been around all along. We're seeing a spike and a surge in their use. And what we're doing is we're putting people into contact, whether it be with food banks, whether it be with, the supports that are available through federal and provincial governments. I can't sugarcoat this. This is a difficult situation. As government, we have challenges as a province to begin with dealing with the debt and the situation that we have in terms of how we allocate funds and spend. But one of the things that was very clear by our premier and the government is that we will stop at nothing to ensure that people are safe and that we recover economically from this. And the investments are being made. We're discussing things that we can do to be proactive. More announcements will be made and are continuously being made as we review industries to see what they can do to provide holidays with respect to payments on credit cards, on mortgages. We will come out of this. It may be a very, and I keep on saying to people as well when I talk to them, we're not going to sprint out of this. It's going to be a marathon. And we have to build people's resiliency to understand that things are going to get back to a sense of normalcy, but it's going to take time. And we have to be mentally focused on going forward and knowing from within us, from our own strengths and the resiliency that we have, that we can overcome this. And we can build, we can build our resources again and bring the province to a point and the country to a point where it is stronger and smarter as a result of what we've learned from this pandemic.
So you made an excellent point there. You mentioned our new sense of normalcy, whatever that looks like. So are you anticipating a high amount of PTSD when people return to being among people? And anxious about it? And if so, what can people do right now to prepare for the return to whatever that new normal is?
Yeah, that's another really excellent question that could take a long time to answer. But briefly, one of the things that usually happens in an emergency or crisis situation is that we start to see signs of PTSD. PTSD is not something that just happens instantaneously. It's typically something that evolves and builds on over the past. So if there were issues in childhood or if there were situations of trauma and stress, it builds and typically manifests itself in about 10% of the population. So 90% of us will not have issues with what we've experienced because we have the internal resiliency to go forward. But for that 10%, it's difficult. And how to deal with that is, first and foremost, talk. The most important thing you can do, and that's one of the reasons I'm so happy that we have the structured psychotherapy, the Mind Ability Program that's being implemented, where people can get help now virtually by utilizing an internet-based cognitive behavioral therapy program. Things like talking to other people, things like understanding what is happening and putting it into the perspective of the here and now, as opposed to allowing it to overtake a person's life. We're going to see a lot more. And I've been tracking the numbers now for 2 or 3 weeks, where we are watching what's happening with respect to the use of our suicide lines, what's happening with teens and the calls to the kid talk lines, what's happening with respect to Connects Ontario. Are we noticing more addiction and opioid overdoses? We're tracking those numbers and putting systems in place, not just for today, but also for what the fallout of this pandemic is going to be when we start to see normalcy. And what is that normalcy? I mean, that's another really good question. As a government who has been elected on the basis of modernizing and transforming processes, I'll tell you, I'm a very positive person and I look for the silver lining in every cloud. One of the processes that changed just dramatically is our whole judicial system. We do not use anymore face-to-face or attendances in court. Everything is done virtually. That has transformed corrections, the judiciary, and the legal system. We talk about this, and we may be 10 to 20 years ahead of our schedule in terms of modernizing the judicial system. It's happening in education. It's happening. We're seeing it in health with virtual care. I fear all the time talking about things positively, especially when so many people are hurting and how negative the situation is. But, you know, we have to look at helping everyone we can help, and in the process learning as much as we can from this terrible experience, and hopefully improve systems to become much more user-friendly and much better and economically run than the way things had been done in the past.
Well, it's probably not a bad thing to talk about the positives and what you see as a positive, because I think we all need a little positive in our life right now.
I have
one more question for you, and then I'm going to let you go. People with addictions really must feel abandoned, given centers have had to close. Will consideration be given to increasing the number of addictions programs, given demand will be immediate and high when we get to that new sense of normalcy?
Yeah, Wendy, my background before coming to politics, I was a lawyer, but I ran an addiction, a residential therapeutic community for 10 years. And in the process, I'm working right now on my doctorate in clinical psychology with an emphasis on addictions and concurrent disorders. So I have a keen interest in developing and making sure that a system exists that helps everyone, not just the people in downtown Toronto, but our rural areas and our remote communities. To do that, what we need to do is we need to build a connected, integrated system. Nothing's changed. This has been my mantra since I became elected as a government official, and I landed as Associate Minister of Mental Health and Addiction, not by chance, but by choice. I want to be here, and yes, we are going to build a strong, integrated, holistic approach to the needs of each individual that has an addiction. Everyone deserves a second chance. And unfortunately, many people have turned to addiction as a way of coping with their mental health issue. And it can be as mild as depression to something as serious as, you know, a personality disorder, so schizophrenia. But we are going to work to build a strong system. And if anything, this COVID for me has allowed me to really focus on making sure that we have an emergency response for people that are marginalized or victimized or in a situation where they typically wouldn't get attention. I want to make sure that that system is built for them, but it's built for all of us. Because at the end of the day, everything we do to help with addictions and mental health makes people more productive. It decreases the cost of acute care, and it gives us a system that allows everyone to participate and actually add value as opposed to taking away from the needs. And you know, then we focus on the acute care. So sorry for the long-winded answer, but yes, we are working on it. We are building that system now, and it will continue to be built as we move out of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Minister, can you just run through the virtual sites that are available for people who are struggling with mental health right now? Just let us know what those sites are again.
Sure. The first one that is available is called Bounce Back. It's a guided self-help program using workbooks with phone coaching. That is available. And Bounce Back, I believe it's bounceback.ca or .com, but just if you put in Bounce Back in a Google search, you'll get that. There's a kids help phone line, which is 24/7 virtual support service offering professional counseling, information, and referrals. And it's volunteer-based, but it's amazing. It's also text-based. So kids can text in, and it's in English and in French, and they can also direct you to other services, and I believe up to 40 languages, including 4 indigenous languages. Internet-based cognitive behavioral therapy, you can go to the website for KMH, and you'll see that there's a contact there. But again, for cognitive behavioral therapy, if you were getting services in the past face-to-face, contact your service provider. If you weren't and need that help, then you can either go to the Kids Helpline, and then, of course, Connects Ontario. I believe it's connectsontario.ca. Google search will give you that number, and you'll be able to contact them, and they will provide you with someone within your region or area to provide support as well. And if all else fails, there's one other one I should mention, Big White Wall, which is the support that is for professionals. So we're sending anyone that needs supports with respect to anxiety and depression, for our mental health frontline workers, first responders that typically use that. But it's open for everyone, professionals and all individuals in the province. And lastly, one of the best sources that I've seen and I'm very proud of is Ontario's website for COVID, ontario.ca/COVID-19. And that will provide you with, distancing, social distancing, physical distancing, the common questions that are asked regarding COVID. And it's a real source of information. And one last word of advice for people listening to us. Please, please be aware of fake news. You're going to start to see more and more people coming up with conspiracy theories, and all that's going to do is agitate, aggravate, and result in more issues with respect to your mental health. Listen to the experts. Look things up that are legitimate. Listen to the news that's reporting the truth of what's happening, and we will get through this because, you know, our resiliency and strength, we all have it. It's just a question of identifying it within ourselves, you know, promoting it in our kids, and we will come through this.
Very good. I thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
For breaking news and the latest local impacts, keep listening to This Vista Radio Station.